Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back at it on a Monday night here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. On Sunday, that would be yesterday morning, sports on a Sunday morning. John Mozeliak joined Tom Ackerman. A lot to talk about as the roster decisions continue to get made. We're seeing on just about an everyday basis another two or three players getting reassigned to minor league camp. But you know, Oliver Marmol talked about it earlier this week. There's going to be a lot of players, like upwards of 10 players, probably 7-8 players who are going to not make the team, who have done everything that they needed to do during spring to make the team. So that's just kind of the way things are. This is a really, really deep team. Nonetheless, want to listen into the conversation that Tom Ackerman had with John Mozeliak yesterday morning here on KMOX.
I'm the president of baseball operations. John Mozeliak is with us. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, happy to be here, Tommy. But remember, pre-pandemic, we did a lot more in person. So I think we sort of all evolved from the post-pandemic on how we do interviews and so forth. But yeah, it's great. We have a beautiful morning here on a Sunday and looking forward to a nice day of baseball.
It's great to be with you. The Cardinals are in Port St. Lucie today, taking on the Mets. Let's start with yesterday. How about Matthew Liberatore? Comes out, fires five innings. I know you've had some high hopes with him. That's about as good as we've seen.
Yeah, he pitched really well yesterday, and it's great to see. Like, what you want to see guys doing right now is sort of beginning to sort of peak as they prepare for the season. So, you know, I think a lot of times we come down here, we watch games, and things don't go right. We hide behind, oh, they're just working on something. And, you know, it's nice to see guys actually have some success and do some things. And the one takeaway I have from this camp really has been when you watch so many of our younger players and how they're contributing, it's been fun to watch. And you know, clearly our stars are at the WBC. We're getting a few of them back as teams are starting to bounce out of that tournament. But I think reality is like, as a St. Louis Cardinal fan or someone that works for the team, we've gotten to see a lot of good young players play and really keep it competitive. And I was sort of joking with Gary LaRocque, he's going to have a lot of pressure now because AAA should be good.
Yeah, Memphis is going to be good. Memphis will have a good rotation. Memphis is going to have a solid lineup. And really, you know, you could look at almost any position right now. I mean, is there one area of depth that you're most proud of right now? I guess I would start with catcher. You seem very deep at catcher to start.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, obviously when you go out and sign a Wilson Contreras, you didn't feel like you had the heir apparent coming for that. But I will say what you're seeing from some of our younger catchers has been impressive in this camp, and that's certainly encouraging. I think, look, right now the biggest competition is what's going to happen with left-hand relief. Yeah. And you look at all these guys that are competing for these spots, and, you know, they're really throwing the ball well. And so that part of the depth is great. There's a lot of flexibility in this group, meaning some aren't on the roster, some have options. So that's good news for us. So when you just talk about, like, sort of bullpen relief, we have that. We're going to have starting pitching depth, I think, just based on where we are today. Now, things change. People get hurt. But, you know, that part's pretty exciting, too. And I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of competition going on right now in that outfield. And so, obviously, Jordan Walker's name is always going to be talked about between now and the time we open. But, you know, when you watch what he's been able to do in this camp, it's been eye-opening.
Yeah, I've heard you being asked that many times. I've brought it up many times. And the fact of the matter is, it's still March 19th, there is still some time to watch everything, and you have a couple of outfielders who haven't even been able to play in the Grapefruit League for a while.
Yeah, I think that's probably the toughest part when you're really trying to say apples to apples. I mean, obviously, you look at what Lars Nootbaar did. He obviously had a lot of success for the Japanese team. You think about Tyler O'Neill, and he played really well for Team Canada. And, you know, unfortunately, he was a little under the weather the last couple of days, so trying to get him back into the lineup has been a little bit of a struggle. So I think when you look at sort of where we are today, as you point out, we're at March 19th, but, you know, opening day is coming, and it's coming quick. And you think about where we are exactly 1 week from today, we're 30 minutes away from a first pitch down in against Washington. We have 11 o'clock start that day. And so that's a little bit unique in that regard. And so there are going to be some real decisions that have to be made in the next 7 days.
Weighing all of that, there are so many different factors, aren't there? One of them, experience with your club and familiarity. If you know a pitcher, how much does that factor in to an ultimate decision?
You know, I do think if you're referring more to the catching role, if you will, I do think that has some value. I mean, like someone that understands sort of the ebb and flow of what's entailed during the day, understanding how pitchers work, how they prepare, how they time things is important. So, you know, I do think that has some value. You know, ultimately, I don't think we're going to be at a crossroads where that's a massive decision at that moment in time. The good news is really to echo what you said, is there is some depth there. And so, you know, as we get into the season, as the season unfolds, you know, we certainly will be looking at how people are producing, what type of production are we getting out of individuals, and then determine if we do have to make some changes.
Mason Wynn is an exceptional talent, and you've told us that. We've heard that many times. Now we get to see him, and here's the perfect example of somebody that has had some time to show what he's going to be and actually what he is right now.
Clearly a beneficiary of Tommy Edman playing for Korea, having Paul Goldschmidt slowed by a lower back tightness. And so what's he doing with it? He's making the most of it. And you know, I think that's great. Yeah, you know, had you and I been talking, like, where would he have been penciled in prior to camp? It may have looked one way, and now it's looking a different. So I'm encouraged that these guys are taking advantage of it. And, you know, I think the greatest part of these types of camps, which, you know, are unique, and you try not to get frustrated because of the WBC and you don't have your team. So when you look at it from the glasses half full perspective, these younger players have gotten to really take a chance to step up where their career is at and change their career arc a little bit because of this opportunity.
Tonight, Adam Wainwright will start against Cuba. What do you look for when you see 50 getting out there on the mound for Team USA?
Well, of course, I wish him nothing but success, as well as Team USA. I think, like, what you're hoping to see is, you know, he's able to command the strike zone. Obviously, as long as he has the ability to spin it, he's usually can survive and have success. But, you know, I think the key is for him to be able to get that pitch count up a little bit, because selfishly, I'm starting to think of, like, where are we going to be in 10 to 12 days, and will he be ready to go out and throw, you know, 80 or 90 pitches when he's putting the birds on the bat back on his shoulder. So, you know, I think it's what I would hope to see out of this game is both he and Miles get to ramp up their pitch count, and ultimately one of them gets the win.
Now, Miles hasn't pitched a whole lot. I don't know what to make of that, really.
Well, they're not playing a ton, right? And I think, you know, when you're trying to get guys to commit to this, you're giving them commitments of, hey, we'll use you. And I would imagine managing that is roster is sort of a challenge in that regard. But yeah, I hope he can get some you know, innings, mostly importantly, like fire following his pitch count, get that up today. So when you ask me what I hope for, that's what I hope out of both of them tonight.
The lefties, Montgomery and Matz, great to see them continuing to go. And you know, I've talked about Jack with you. I still feel the same way through three starts. From what I can tell, physically and mentally, he seems like he's in a very good place. How do you see him?
Yeah, I would echo that. I think, you know, he is still working through a few things. But, you know, he has been able to land that slider when he needs to. And I think that's been sort of the difference maker between maybe the past couple years. And the fact that he feels healthy, he's got a very good routine. And from that standpoint, you know, I still believe, you know, sky's the limit for this young man. So, you know, if he can, you know, stay healthy, be able to land that slider when he needs to, spot the fastball when he needs to, he's going to have success.
One other area would be DH and kind of, you know, a utility role, trying to make a decision on that. And, gosh, Taylor Motter had such a good day yesterday. I don't know. I don't know what the end will be there for him, because I see Burleson, I see Yepez, I see Gorman. I mean, you've got some depth.
Yeah, I think that maybe the easiest way to sum it up for our listeners right now is there are a lot of moving parts where I could imagine a lot of different outcomes. And so, you know, a lot of this is going to be predicated on what we end up doing with the outfield. And then, you know, there's that sort of trickle-down effect, if you will, or downstream effect on who that may affect. So the good news is, with this whole group, they're playing pretty well. So that's encouraging. I think the group gives us flexibility. So as you've heard me say before, it's not what you'll look like on March 28th. It's really how you finish. So, you know, ultimately, I think we'll approach the roster that allows us to keep as many players as possible without having to do any outrights or anything like that, and give us the most flexibility moving forward.
Last thing, I get to ask this a lot, so I wanted to bring it back to you, and that is the new rules, pitch timer, defensive shifts, bigger bases, just overall, now that you've seen a lot of it, what do you think?
Well, I think, you know, speaking with my fan hat, I love it. I think pace of play has been great. I think the way things have been moving have been fun, and you know, I don't hear any complaints in the clubhouse either. So net, I think it's a great thing. I think, you know, when lights go on, when things count, I hope we still get the same type of return.
Appreciate your time very much.
All right, thanks, Tommy.
That was Tom Ackerman, or Tommy, as John Mozeliak refers to him as. I've never called him Tom. I'm too new. I don't think I could. He's my boss, first off. So going with a nickname to my boss, I don't know if that's where I want to go. But that was, as I refer to him, Tom Ackerman with John Mozeliak just yesterday morning during sports on a Sunday morning right here on KMOX. All right, a couple things real quick. First off, when we come back, we're going to hear some of what Oliver Marmol had to say today. There's a couple developing stories going on with the Cardinals. Also, a little bit of breaking news. Missouri sports wagering bills 556 and 581 have been perfected by a vote moments ago by the State House. This is according to Alex Gold. No amendments were added. Bill will have one final reading in the House at a later date. What does all that mean? Alex is going to join us at about 7:35. That's all coming up. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Sports Open Line continues here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Have you till 8 o'clock tonight at your service. A Hancock and Kelly edition of At Your Service. They're going to join me during the final segment of the program. Also coming up on a little bit more than 10 minutes, Alex Gold from our Odyssey sister station in Kansas City, 610 Sports. We'll talk with him about sports wagering in Missouri as we are one step closer to that happening. That doesn't mean it's a for sure thing, but we are one step closer to that happening because of what happened in the Missouri House today. An update on what's going on on in the WBC semifinal game. Mexico has a 3-0 lead on Japan. The winner of this game will take on the United States in the WBC championship coming up tomorrow. Cardinals today, they get the win as they knock off the Marlins by a 5-0 score. They are led by Jake Woodford, who again was just dominant. 5 shutout innings, 5 hits, 7 strikeouts, 1 walk. He now has a 2.04 ERA in spring. For me, it's going to be really, really, really tough to leave this guy off the opening day roster the way he is pitching. It has been nothing short of impressive, and we'll see what that looks like when we do get to opening day. Oliver Marmol met with the media, had a few things to get to. There was a lot of WBC talk today with Oliver Marmol. First off, he did give an update after yesterday. Nolan Arenado had to come out of that WBC semifinal after he was hit by a pitch.
He's good. I actually was able to text back and forth. Literally felt like seconds after he got hit, he responded pretty quickly, and he feels good. Everything came back great, so scary for a minute, but glad he's okay.
It would be interesting to see how many seconds actually went by between him being hit by that pitch and Oliver Marmol sending out a text message to try to get an update on what he was going. Marmol was asked how he felt after Arenado went down.
Part of it, guys are going to go out there and you can't control that part of the game. You're hoping everybody comes back healthy, and as of right now, we're in a good spot.
You know, one of the interesting things about the World Baseball Classic when your guys are in there is you're using the WBC to evaluate those players. You can't evaluate them in Grapefruit League games because they're not playing Grapefruit League games, so you have to evaluate them for what they are doing in the WBC kind of from a distance. Adam Wainwright pitched pretty well yesterday, got into a bases-loaded jam early with a bunch of soft contact that just kind of stayed on the infield, but then he was able to work his way out of it and ends up pitching pretty well, and Marmol was very happy with what he saw from Wainwright yesterday.
Yeah, Velo ticked up. Good to see. I mean, that's the main thing we're looking for, right? We know he can do the other stuff. He can spin it. He can locate. And we're just making sure that there's an uptick in Velo from when he left here to when he comes back to us, and we're there. So can't ask for much more than that.
Yeah, so that's a good development. That's a really good development. Velocity is up. When he was still with the team in Jupiter, that's what we were talking about a lot, the fact that velocity was not where you wanted it to be. So the velocity moving in an upward direction, he pitched pretty well, and that's all you can really ask for at this point. And once he gets back with the team, and we'll just see what it looks like. And but right now, again, you're talking about steps forward. That was a pretty solid step forward for Wainwright yesterday. So that led the conversation to this, and I found this to be interesting. If you're an Oliver Marmol, how do you view the World Baseball Classic? Like, are you watching it as a fan? Are you watching it just because of your guys that are in it? Like, what's kind of your mind space as you're watching the WBC? And Marmol made it very clear what is most important to him when watching these games.
Health is the one thing on my mind. Get through the game and be healthy once you're off the mound or taking in a bat. Because at the end of the day, we want to make sure we break camp with everybody we're supposed to break camp with. But, yeah, it's still exciting as a fan to watch it and kind of live some of the moments. I've tried to watch as much of it as possible, not a ton, but I've been able to lock in from time to time.
So that's kind of all the WBC talk from Oliver Marmol today. Another one of the storylines that's kind of playing out, and we discussed this, was it Friday? Yeah, I think we talked about it on Friday here on the program. I said on Friday that I felt like there was a very, like, just from a timing standpoint, when it comes to Paul DeJong, that they were running out of runway to have him ready to be on the Major League roster for the regular season opener. That, because the talk on Friday was that as he continued to deal with this back issue, that as it lingered on a little bit more, there might be some ramp-up time to get him back to where he needs to be. And if that ramp-up time, say, is another 3 days, then all of a sudden he's getting back. And there's like 3-4 days left in spring training, and when you're hitting .150, like that's not enough time to really see anything where you would be able to secure your spot on the roster. So what I said on Friday was we were moving in the direction of him starting the season on the injured list, because what that would then allow the club to do is basically give him a second spring training at Memphis, where he would get healthy, he'd go on a rehab assignment, and he'd be able to get his at-bats, and he wouldn't have to try to make the team in 3 games. Well, a little bit of an update today from Oliver Marmol, and it's pretty clear that that is the direction that we are moving in.
DeJong will not be back tomorrow. We've had a little bit of a setback with DeJong.
What is that?
It's tightening up on him when he bends to take ground balls, and we'll have to get a really good sense for that. Here in the middle of the day, I'll sit with our medical department and see where we're at, but as of right now, we're not expecting him to play this week.
So he will open the season on the injured list?
That's the whole, this afternoon I'll go to the medical department and figure out like what's next or where we're at, but I don't want to speak to that until I have real clarity. He's supposed to play tomorrow, and that's not happened.
Was that something that came up this morning?
Yeah, he's taking ground balls this morning. Yeah. Good.
I mean, we can all do the math.
Yes, we can.
If he's not going to play for a week,
well,
a week from today is opening.
I wouldn't say a week. I would say he's not going to play tomorrow. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad I asked that.
Yeah.
So that was the interaction between Oliver Marmol and Derek Gould from the Post-Dispatch. He's not going to be on the opening day roster. Well, I can say that. He's not going to be on the opening day roster. So now I guess the question is he still in the organization or is he on the injured list? Like he's going to, I feel like there's a 99% chance now that he's going to open up the season on the injured list. They're eventually going to get him to Memphis and he'll go from there. And then they just see how it plays out. This, I don't know. I pause before I say what I'm about to say because it's not totally fair, but I'm going to say it. This is why you have off seasons, and this is why not giving yourself an off season can come back to bite you a little bit. And I really appreciate what Paul DeJong did this off season, trying to rebuild his swing. And maybe there is zero correlation. Maybe I'm as far off as you can possibly be on anything. Maybe there is zero correlation between DeJong going hard, basically all off season working on his swing, and the fact that he has continued to be banged up here in spring. But I don't think it's a coincidence. I just don't. Look at, for the most part, this has been an incredibly, knock on wood, it's not wood that I just knocked on, but you get the point. For the most part, this has been an incredibly healthy spring training for the Cardinals. It has been as healthy of a spring as you can possibly be. And because those words came out of my mouth, I just probably jinxed it and something bad's going to happen in the next week, but we can't run away from reality. This has been an incredibly healthy spring for the Cardinals. And then you have Paul DeJong, who's had nagging injuries from the moment spring training got underway. And he is the guy that just grinded through the offseason trying to redo his swing. Now, look, I get it. I understand. You're redoing your swing. You're not out there playing in the field. You're not playing games. Like it's not like you didn't have a little bit of an offseason, but he's sitting there in the cage. He's doing all this work all offseason long, never giving himself a break, and now it's time to get the season underway, basically, and he's not healthy. And I have a hard time believing that there is not some sort of correlation between those two things. So sit him down, shut him down, give his back a rest, give everything a rest, and let him eventually get to a rehab assignment in Memphis and see where you go. Because at this point, there's nothing that he can accomplish in spring training at this point. There is nothing, absolutely nothing that he can accomplish. He is not going to be able to be back playing in games in time to make the team. So just shut him down and go from there and put him on the injured list and let him have some time. And then once he's all the way healthy or as close to healthy as he's going to be, get him down to Memphis on a rehab assignment, and go from there. Because pushing him to try to have him available for the final two or three Grapefruit League games, when you've hit $150, it's you're not going to accomplish anything. So at this point, it just makes all the sense in the world for him to be on the injured list, and you kind of go from there. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk with Alex Gold. He works for our sister station, 610 Sports, in Kansas City. He has been all over what's been going on in the Missouri House when it comes to sports wagering in the state of Missouri. It took another step forward. Certainly not a guarantee that's going to be legalized, but we're closer to it. We'll discuss that with Alex coming up in just a moment. Sports Open Line, a Gray Bar Sports Open Line, rolling on here on KMOX. A Gray Bar Sports Open Line continues here on KMOX. Well, we might be just a little bit closer to sports wagering in the state of Missouri being legal. Very happy right now to welcome on to the program. You hear him across the state. He's on our sister station, 610 Sports. He is Alex Gold. He is a host of Cody and Gold, plus does some other work as well, both on 610 Sports and on the BetQL app. He joins us right now. Hey, Alex, appreciate your time. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good, man. It's good. We had talked a couple of years ago, I think, just about the Cardinals and when you first got the gig out there, man. So it's good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you, and you're killing it over on the other side of the state. I've always been so happy since you've been able to get that gig. But I've recently, we follow each other on Twitter, and I got to say, you've been the guy that I have most closely watched when it comes to all the developments in terms of sports wagering in the state of Missouri. And today what happens is one of the bills gets perfected, but it's likely to officially be approved in the House, but we still have to wait on the Senate. Like, can you kind of give an update on the significance of what happened today?
So it was definitely a step forward, right? And you laid it out there. The bill was perfected. There's two House bills that involve sports wagering that don't have video lottery terminals attached. We can get into that because that's really going to be the issue perhaps on the Senate side. But the next step is more of a formality. There'll be what they call a third reading. It could happen later this week. And that would actually be the final real vote on the sports wagering bill that would pass out of the House. It's very similar to last year, where a sports wagering bill did pass out of the Missouri House before it ultimately stalled in the Senate. And that's really where the issues, guys, still arise. And, you know, if you're asking me, passing out of the House, well, that's not going to be an issue. But on the Senate side, whether or not they're able to get a bill passed through there and ultimately sent to the governor, that still is the biggest question remaining. The benefit this go around, I would say, from a year ago is a couple things. One, timing, Matt. It's happening a little bit earlier on in the process. You know, we know they have till May 12th or so, but this is up maybe a week or two at least ahead of schedule from where things were at a year ago, which is always a good sign if you're trying to eventually have to find compromise. The more time, the better.
Is the political climate in the state Senate any different now when it comes to this and the feelings on this than when it stalled out the last time?
Overall, I would say yes. And if, for those who don't know, last year, let's back up. The holdup there has to do with video lottery terminals. These are essentially, for those of your listeners that ever go to Illinois, they're probably very familiar with these. They're in, you know, rest stops and others. They're basically slot machines, right, that are in gas stations, rest stops, what have you. And there is some belief from some senators, and one in particular, Denny Hoskins, who believes that Missouri should also have legalized video lottery terminals, and he wants to attach that to the sports wagering bill. And he has said in the past that he will not pass or allow a sports wagering bill without video lottery terminals. Now, the entire Senate and House, more than a year or so ago, is more on board with keeping those separate than they were. And a lot of it has to do with Kansas legalizing it in the last calendar year and another state bordering Missouri that has legal sports wagering. So the real question, Matt, is going to come down to whether or not that really one senator or so in particular is going to filibuster like he has in the past and otherwise block a sports wagering bill that doesn't have his video lottery terminal amendment attached to it. And that's what remains to be seen over the next couple of months.
Yeah, look, I'm a really simple person, and what I've just never been able to understand on this is why we are letting tax revenue go across a river to Illinois, across a border to Kansas, across a border to Iowa, all these bordering states that have legalized sports gambling, and Missouri is just stuck in place. Like, even if you're against it, like, there's all this tax revenue that's leaving the state. It makes no sense.
Right. No, I mean, I think that's important to know. You're right. I mean, there's some people that are just not for gaming and not for sports wagering. That's fine. Everybody has their right to that. But you said it. If you're still someone that appreciates the tax revenue to your state that would go towards education, for example, then it's something that some people are willing to get behind. I mean, I think there's definitely some legislators, I should say, on both the House and the Senate side that maybe really don't care about sports wagering, but they want to make sure Missouri is competitive with the neighboring states in terms of the revenue that's being brought in. And so I think that's what's also maybe won some senators and representatives on the House side over, based off of their constituents and what they're hearing. I know for sure, at least on this side of the state where I'm at, on the Kansas side, but near Kansas City, where there are plenty of representatives that have heard from constituents that they're sick of going across to Kansas. I'm sure you guys hear it on that side, sick of going across to Illinois to wager. And it's not just the sports wagering dollars. You know, people are going across this past weekend for March Madness, maybe, Matt, and they're not just wagering in Kansas or Illinois or Iowa. They're maybe staying in a hotel. They're maybe spending money on food. They're maybe buying gas. That's all tax revenue, all of it combined, that's not going to Missouri.
Alex Gold from 610 Sports in Kansas City. You're so connected to kind of the betting public, and you talk to a lot of those people. Is it frustrating for people in Missouri just watching this and seemingly going nowhere over the last few years?
Oh, I think so, no doubt. I mean, that's the number one question that I get now over the last year or so, is just, where is the progress? Is this going to happen this go around? When can I bet from my couch? Am I going to have to keep driving across the state line? We were joking with a coworker of ours earlier today on my show that I do here in Kansas City, and he texts me or calls me a lot during basketball games. It was actually during the KU-Arkansas game, and it's a lot. And he's asked me to make a wager for him or whatever, and I finally got to the point where we joked, because I said, I'm not doing it anymore, basically. But that's the kind of stuff where I think everybody has that friend maybe that has asked them to help them out because they're not in a legal wagering state. And there's now 30-plus states, I think it is, that have legalized sports wagering, and more states each calendar year are passing it. And you kind of just – not only is it the tax revenue, but I think, you know, I'm a big fan, Matt, of letting adults make adult decisions in their life. And if people want to wager on sports and they're able to hopefully responsibly do that, and for those that aren't able to responsibly do that, of course, that's why it's important. Most of these bills have problem gaming funds. It's something that all these states have been careful about. You know, they'll put aside, let's say it's $500,000 for problem gaming, because it is something that can be addictive. Nobody's trying to act as if it isn't problematic for some individuals. It's no different than, unfortunately, the addiction for alcohol or anything else. But I still am a fan of adults making adult decisions.
I was curious the other day. I opened up the VPN on my phone and went to a different state to see if I could open up a sports gambling site, and it didn't work. But then I got on my desktop computer and I did the exact same thing. And a computer doesn't have location stuff like a cell phone. I went to Indiana and I went to FanDuel or DraftKings or whatever. And I'm not a sports gambler. I was never going to place a bet. But as far as I was going to go, it let me do it. So, like, and people are placing illegal bets all the time. There's so many ways around this. I think that's the other thing, that if you're a lawmaker in Missouri, you see the money leaving the state, but you also see people doing weird ways to do it. Like, I just, right. Nobody's not doing it because it's not legal.
That's right. No, I mean, I think that's important to note as well, that there are people that for years and years and years, because again, it's only been a state issue since 2018. Otherwise it still is federally illegal, but it was always something that you weren't able to do. And people have offshore accounts, you know, all the websites that you guys have maybe seen and heard of offshore, the Bovadas and otherwise in the past, or you do have that local bookie or whatever it may be. Like, people have been illegally wagering. It is, you know, an unregulated market still exists out there. And not only is there the tax revenue aspect, but in terms of those that are worried about the integrity of your sporting events, a regulated environment is going to be a safer environment to bet in for athletes as well, right? I mean, we're talking about the professional athletes that people are going to be wagering on, and there's, you know, always some concerns about what that means, you know, do people get out of hand with losing money and reacting towards a given athlete. In an unregulated market, you have no way to do anything really to protect that. In a regulated market, at least there's an opportunity for you to have. There's some states that are considering, actually, Matt, putting certain provisions in bills to have consequences for those that go after amateur athletes, right? Collegiate athletes, for people sending vulgar and hateful DMs to college athletes. There's some states that are considering putting in legislation in attached to this to try to make sure there's not any of that going on in terms of having punishment for those that do that. So there's always going to be things that need to be in there for safeguards and continued ways to progress forward as we figure out all this even more over the next couple of years. But hopefully by the time we get to May and in middle of May, Missouri can finally get this thing passed and everybody can have an opportunity maybe by next football season or the end of football season to wager in Missouri.
He is Alex Gold. You hear him on 610 Sports in Kansas City, our Odyssey sister station. He's on Twitter at Alex Gold. If you want to follow along with what's going on in terms of sports wagering getting closer to being illegal in Missouri, I would highly suggest you follow along with Alex on Twitter. Alex, thank you for the time, and we'll probably ask for you again as the developments continue to occur. We really appreciate you being so gracious with your time.
Yeah, no problem. Good to talk to you guys.
All right, very good. There's Alex Gold joining us from Kansas City. And, yeah, we're one step closer, but still a number of steps to move forward to get sports wagering legal in the state of Missouri. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the program. Hancock and Kelly in tonight for At Your Service. They'll join me. I was like throwing something fun off of them, so we'll do that coming up in just a moment or so right here on KMOX. Starting to wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Do want to remind you once again about Kegs and Eggs, Thursday, March 30th, Cardinals opening day 10 to 2 across from Ballpark Village. That's if you have the VIP ticket, 11 to 2 for everybody else. Here's the thing. You get access to a covered VIP area, but most importantly, you get private restrooms. And if you've ever been in downtown St. Louis on that day, you know, A, how valuable being able to go to the bathroom in a clean area is, and how tough that can be. Well, it's not going to be that tough if you are part of Kegs and Eggs. All the details, KMOX.com/events. Hancock and Kelly in for At Your Service tonight, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. They're with us right now. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Welcome back.
Well, you've been here a week now,
haven't you? About a week, yeah. A week ago, this past Saturday. So, what, 9 days now?
Yeah.
How was it when the weather hit you on Saturday? Were you like, my word, I still wish I was in Florida?
You know, it was weird because if you go to a warm weather place in December, when you come back, you're ready for it to be cold. But when you go to a warm weather place in March, there's something in the back of your head that says you're going to come back and it's going to be warm. So I was expecting warm weather and I was expecting wrong.
Yeah. It was. I went to the soccer game on Saturday.
Ooh, have you warmed up yet?
Oh, my word. It was brutal cold. And, you know, we obviously have had colder days, but the wind was whipping through.
Yeah.
And I was bundled up. Boy, it was amazing how loud that crowd was because everybody looked like, you know, the kid from Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't move because you had so much clothes on. But it was so loud there. It was so much fun. I encourage you guys to go. Matt, you've been?
Yeah. I went to the exhibition against Bayer Leverkusen, and that was an incredible event. And that was a cold night, too. That was really cold.
I got to get my guy Hancock to go. He's just now coming into soccer.
I'm going to wait for it to warm up a little bit, I think.
We'll see. All right.
I've never been a big soccer guy, but these games have been entertaining. I will say that.
It's fun. It's like same thing. I've never been a big soccer guy, but it's a really cool thing. It's a cool story for St. Louis.
It is.
Yeah. All right. So I got to throw this off.
All right. Come on.
I'm younger than you guys. So sometimes I look to you for advice.
Everybody's younger.
I go back through something and I try to figure out if I did the right thing.
All right.
So we're still doing the church shopping thing. We go to a different church every Sunday. Went to a church. We dropped our 4-year-old daughter off at the
nursery.
You know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go to pick her up, we're walking out and she says, "A boy hit me."
Oh.
She doesn't say stuff like that. I don't know if those words have ever come out of her mouth.
Oh.
And then she gives us even more details, where she was at, that the teacher saw, the kid went into timeout, the toy that he was playing with got taken away. So there's enough details that it's like, okay, there's something going on here. And
getting assaulted at church.
Yes. Yeah. So nobody said anything to us when we picked her up. So that kind of
strike one.
Yes, that kind of sat a little bit bad with me. So I sent a very nice email to him just saying, this is what my daughter said. If there's some truth to the story, we'd like to know what was going on. Yeah. Not trying to be a helicopter parent, but this was a little bit off. And to their credit, they sent me a very nice email. Yeah. There was a kid. He was hitting people. They didn't realize our daughter was involved. He was hitting another kid and yada, yada, yada. Did I do the right thing in sending the email to the church?
Absolutely.
I did.
Yes.
Okay.
They would want to know. And, you know, you got a young 4-year-old kid in there, 5-year-old kid, you know, if it's even worse.
She's four.
Oh, it was a girl.
Yeah.
Your daughter's a girl.
Yeah. I don't know how old the kid was. Yeah. Yeah, the boy. I don't know.
It was a boy. Yeah. Hitting on her. Mm. That's a problem.
Yep.
That's a problem.
Did I do the right thing?
Yes.
Of course you did the right thing. But, I mean, I don't have any kids and don't intend on it.
Yes.
So
awkward laugh.
These are the kind of things that I'm not going to have to worry about.
Yeah.
All right.
No, that's good parenting there, Matt.
All right. Just double check.
How long are the, you're going to church, we call it mass, but how long is the service?
An hour.
Yeah, hour 15, somewhere in there. Started at 11, probably was over by 12:15 or so. Yeah.
And did she like her experience outside of
We believe smacked? So, but it always came back to getting hit. I don't think she's ever been hit before.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's, and she goes to school. I mean, she's around other kids, but I think she got whacked pretty good by this kid just based off the what she's saying.
Oh, that's terrible.
That kid obviously didn't see her dad when he dropped her off. he wouldn't be tangling with that, I guarantee you.
Guy does kickboxing, just told us.
I know.
Kickboxing.
Yeah, I do.
You get them. You get out there. Have you ever done the real fights?
I want to. I have hemophilia. So where my blood doesn't clot.
Okay.
That's no good.
I luckily did not know that until after I was done with high school because, like, I was a high school wrestler.
Yeah.
I never would have been able to wrestle, play football, all the things I did in high school. I never would have been able to do that if I had any clue that I had hemophilia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you take a medicine for that?
No, but if I have like a bleed that doesn't stop, I'm supposed to have like a nose thing that I can sniff that has like clotting factor that goes throughout your entire body.
Wow.
If I had a root canal a while back, and that was a pain in the you know what, because my wife, who previously worked in the medical industry, she had to, like, in our home, she had to put an IV into me with the stuff that morning before I went to the dentist, because the dentist isn't going to have stuff like that. You go to like a hospital, they'll have that. But if you're getting dental work done, they don't have any of that stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Is it hereditary?
It is. So I actually got it from my mom, which is very rare for women to have hemophilia. So my mom's...
I don't think I know any other person that has hemophilia.
Oh, well, now you do.
Now I do.
What about your daughter?
She is a carrier. We don't know if she is if it's going to impact her.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so there you go. In 30 seconds, what do you guys have coming up tonight?
I left my sheet out there. It's good. We're going to talk about the Trump indictment that's pending. And we got a bunch of fun topics.
That's good. It's Hancock and Kelly. It is on the way next. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Another full 2-hour program, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, a Graybar Sports Open Line. If you ever miss anything, you can always find the podcast. It's available at KMOX.com, also on the Odyssey app. We'll talk to you tomorrow night for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.